A very good morning to you all, and welcome to day 20 of 40 days Lenten prayers and reflections. Today is Thursday, 11th March 21. Affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, your Son, who died for us on the cross and was resurrected that we may now have life in him. Thank you, Father, that we have the authority of Jesus Christ over every evil power. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of his cross and blood, we bind the spirits, powers and forces of the earth, and the satanic forces of nature. We bind all interplay, interaction, and communication of evil spirits as they would try to affect us in any way during this time of Lent. We claim the protection of the shed blood of Jesus Christ over our lives. Thank you for your protection, Lord. Please prepare our hearts and help us to receive your word with understanding and without distraction from the enemy. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Listen now for the word of God from the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 12, the verses 43 to 45. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert, seeking rest, but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. And the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of this evil generation. Old habits die hard. The first known citation of that quote is in an article by Benjamin Franklin, printed in the London Chronicle in December 1758. The phrase has a literal meaning which suggests that a habit becomes more and more ingrained into a person with time, whether good or bad. In other words, It is hard to stop doing things that one has been doing for a long time, such as one would cry, "I just can't seem to give up smoking." Old habits die hard. Here is a text which illustrates why old habits may die hard in the sense of evil practices in our lives. It is a mysterious little parable about the haunted house or the haunted soul. The evil spirit referred to in the text, we are told, goes out of the man but is not destroyed. And because it is not destroyed, it needs another home to live in. So it goes around looking for one. If it doesn't find it, it looks for fortification so that when it returns to its old home, it will be able to challenge anything that is taking its place. So it looks for seven other spirits that are even more evil and returns to its former house. If it finds it empty, cleaned, and arranged, it retakes its place there. It is a very tragic picture if it ever happens to anyone, that you've just started enjoying freedom from something that had hitherto enslaved you, and then before long it comes knocking again. But what are these evil spirits referred to in our text? Let us think of them in terms of the kinds of unhelpful or destructive behaviors and attitudes that we keep. Think of the ones in your life. You know them, as I don't need to tell you. If we managed to deal with them at some point, those habits don't go away, but hang around in different forms or by the mere fact that other people around us are still exercising them. If we do not replace those behaviors with other helpful practices, they are likely to return, and when they do, they will come back with a force and influence that is even stronger. Let us take the example of a drunkard who wastes his or her money and life on alcohol, and because of drunkenness gets into other sinful practices. A drunkard may become reformed and decide that he or she will no longer spend time in the bar or beer parlor, but he or she must find something else to do to fill up the time that was spent on drinking and in bars. Otherwise, the one will simply slip back into his or her bad habit. What I learn is that Satan always finds some mischief for idle hands to do. And if one kind of action is banished from life, another kind must be substituted for it, for life cannot remain empty. But more generally, let us learn that in this present age of mortality, evil can be conquered. It can be driven away, but it cannot be completely destroyed. Evil is always looking for the opportunity to counter-attack and regain the ground that is lost. And so it is with bad habits in our lives. And sometimes we just immerse ourselves in those habits without any justification for doing them, or when we know they don't benefit us in any way. No wonder the Apostle Paul cried, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." Romans 7:15 and 19. Dear friend, I don't know the particular bad habit that you are struggling to fight in your life, if at all you are fighting any. Maybe you are instead enjoying it. I don't know the habit you are fighting. It may be drunkenness that easily leads you to other forms of evil and destructive practices such as adultery and fornication. It may be hatred for others, that you just detest particular people even for no reason at all. You don't like them. and you don't even know why you don't like them. It may be corruption, that you are dishonest with money and other resources that have been entrusted to your charge, and you are misusing them and stealing what should benefit others. It may be the habit of unfaithfulness in relationships that is causing mental health problems to your partner or your spouse. It may be empty pride and arrogance that is gently killing you and denying you the opportunities of life. Or is it jealousy, envy, or strife? If you really want to deal with these habits, you need to replace them with other good deeds, because the easiest way to keep alive from sin is to fill it with healthy action. The one fatal disease is idleness. If we are finding the temptations of evil very threatening, one of the best ways to conquer them is to plunge ourselves into activity for God and for others, and never to allow any detestable habit in our lives to flourish. An elderly teacher with a pupil by his side took a walk through a forest. Suddenly he stopped and pointed to four plants close at hand. The first was just beginning to peep above the ground. The second had rooted itself pretty well into the earth. The third was a small shrub, while the fourth was a full-sized tree. The tutor said to his young companion, "Pull up the first plant." The boy did so eagerly, using only his fingers. "Now pull up the second." The youth obeyed but found the task more difficult. "Do the same with the third," he urged. The boy had to use all his strength to uproot it. "Now," said the instructor, "try your hand with the fourth." The pupil put his arms around the trunk of the tall tree and couldn't even shake its leaves. This, my son, is just what happens with our bad habits. When they are young, we can remove them readily. But when they are old, it's hard to uproot them, though we pray and struggle ever so sincerely. Dear friend, many of us would surely attest to the fact that old habits are hard to break. Wouldn't it be great if we could suddenly become mature and completely perfect by replacing those hurtful and shameful habits with useful and life-giving ones? Imagine how different this world would be if after coming to Christ, we were immediately made morally flawless and spiritually wise. Then we would have no more struggles with impatience or greed or lust or selfishness or hatred and cowardice. We would no longer enter into complaining or gossip or lying, because our lives would be full and filled with the Holy Spirit of God and all those rich virtues called the fruit of the Spirit. Let those old habits be replaced with something useful and something even beautiful. Lord God, we come before you today concerning our bad habits and sins and evil ways. We are not in the right positions to fight these by ourselves. We have tried all we can to stop doing most of the habits, but we can only hold on for a little while. We pray that you will deliver us from them in the name of Jesus and replace those sickening habits with the things of eternal life that are pure. You are the all-powerful God, the all-sufficient and greatest Father, Lord, we pray for spiritual strength that will always give us the consciousness whenever we are being led by the devil to return to sin. We pray that by the strength of your right hand that causes wonder, you will deliver us from any habits that do not honor you and give us the strength never to return to them. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.